The purpose basically was more of a courtesy visit to his counterpart, the Honorable Minister of Foreign Affairs, Dr. James Etia Morgan, basically, and also his deputy, Honorable Ramadan Mohammed Gorge, just to congratulate them on the new appointment and to see how they can forge the regional integration forward. So it's basically a courtesy visit to the government and also to meet with other ministries. Like, for example, today we met with the Minister of Trade. We're also hoping to meet with the Ministers of Health, Minister of Education, just to discuss things of bilateral interest for our two countries.
Mm. Now, talking about trade, I understand Mulumba at the airport upon arrival yesterday, he talked about the importance of having cordial relations between the two countries, but also you mentioned regional integration as part of East Africa. So what was the outcome of the meeting, especially regarding the trade between South Sudan and Uganda? I understand South Sudan heavily rely on imports from the neighboring Uganda.
Yes, the meeting basically was, I would say, was productive in the sense that it reaffirmed the commitment of the government of South Sudan, the government of Uganda, to operate within the East Africa framework and standards to ensure the trading is fair and people are there to quality and standards. And during the meeting, it was reiterated for our Bureau of Standards. For example, if there are products coming out of Uganda, the Ugandan National Bureau of Standards has to do the quality testing and do certification so that when things cross here, we know these things have gone through the right procedures and they are fit for human consumption in one way or another. And of course, South Sudan as a country has that sovereign right to protect its interests. And by that, our Bureau of Standards can do random testing to just confirm that what we see is actually correct. We cannot just rely, say somebody have tested and therefore it is good enough. We also have that right to just do our own analysis. And
on that, I understand there was an issue of aflatoxin and other challenges that was raised in South Sudan. But do you see any positive impact regarding that so far? Because you've talked about this before.
Yes, I think in every side of a situation, there is the good and the bad side of things. I think the bad side of things was what we faced between May to August, where these drugs were impounded, people didn't know what was to happen. But I think after that, people learned, and that's why we are talking of quality standards now. That's why we're calling for the Bureau of Standards across the region to ensure before the goods exit their country, they have to do the certification. So, and there's more collaboration and cooperation now between our two institutions, which is a good thing out of that. Mm-hmm. And the trade is flowing normally. And of course, there will be those people who want to make shortcut. They will not follow the required procedures, but those will be treated as criminal and prosecuted as such.
Mm. What is new, Ambassador, regarding the issue of the border? I understand on Monday this week, President Salva Kiir vowed to address the issue of border between South Sudan and Uganda amicably, or to expedite the process. This came after authorities in Kajukeji County raised concern that troops from Uganda, they crossed deep into South Sudan, and this was an issue raised at the local level, at the state level, also at the national level. As the ambassador directly in Uganda, who is representing South Sudan, what new development do you think has been made so far since you came together with the State Minister of Foreign Affairs in Uganda?
Thank you, Manuel. You know, first of all, we have to look at the historical relations between these communities, particularly the community of Greater Kajukeji and people across the border in Moyo. They lived for centuries side by side before we even had the borders. But what we're talking about today, the border issues, in the recent history, it started in 2005 when there was that first clash between the two communities. And then again in 2014. And then it kept on happening. What has changed, or what has been the position of the government of South Sudan, has been that these border issues, we know where the border lies. For example, when people talk of the border between South Sudan and Uganda, we say Sudan as a country, before we got our independence, Sudan independence in 1956, Sudan got independence almost 6-7 years before Uganda got independence. So it was Sudan who had borders with the British protectorate of Uganda. Uganda didn't exist by that time. And it is very clear in all the maps. As Sudan got independence in 1956, 1st January 1956, it is those borders of Sudan back then that will still remain the borders of South Sudan today. So regardless of what happens, that's the compass, that's the pillar, that's where we'll go. So we believe this thing would be addressed and through the border commission that we have here. And that border commission basically is working within the framework of Africa Union to ensure these border differences amongst members are addressed amicably. And that's why we have a trilateral border commission that involves South Sudan, Uganda, and Kenya. Because you find South Sudan have border issues, community have issues with each other, South Sudan, Uganda. You find Kenya, Uganda. You find Kenya, South Sudan. So it will be addressed in that framework. But in our case, there is that conversation already happening bilaterally between Uganda and South Sudan to ensure our local communities stay in peace and then allow room for this border commission to take its work. So the work has started. It requires a heavy logistics to get experts to go get all the maps. People go down, do the demarcation. It will take a while, but the first thing is to ensure no communal violence along our borders.
Yes, but the fear now from the communities, especially in Kajukeji, that the troops of UPDF troops are already in the territory of South Sudan, and it seems like they are not moving. It seems like they're going to stay there for longer based on what they're saying, what they're seeing on the ground from the troops. Do you think this will still continue to happen, or what remedy can be found? Because it's creating fear in the local community members, among the communities there.
I think there are ways that can be remedied. We've been seeing the interviews by local authorities on this situation, but I'm yet to see an official document where the commissioner has written to the governor and the governor raises that to say, apart from... So it is a problem, but it's surmountable. It can be addressed because it is a matter of orders and people... There is already behind-the-scene conversation happening. But what I'm also urging our leaders at the county, district level, in case of Uganda, is really to avoid giving alarming statements because these are unnecessarily causing tension and it makes the situation worse. There are channels that we can air our views, whether good or not good, we would be able to say that. But I've seen this also across the border in Uganda. You would find parliamentarian will point a accusing finger on South Sudan or on another country, but with no basis at all. And such actions causes a lot of insecurity. They don't help. So as leaders, we should be able to de-escalate and ensure that the dialogues is given first opportunity.
Good. Ambassador, let's also briefly talk about last month you informed us officially that the Ugandan government scrapped the student fee pass for South Sudanese students. And there was also effort to reciprocated. You said with something like that happens in South Sudan. In Uganda, definitely it will also happen in South Sudan. But what about the guardians and the parents? Any new development regarding that?
Yeah. Basically, these things take a while. It's a process. By that, even when we got the waiver of the pupil pass fee, it took a while. It started way back in March, and then in May, I spoke about it during our 40th Armed Forces Day, and then on the Independence Day, when you covered it, we spoke about it, and that's when it really picked up the efforts until we got the waiver. For the guardian to regularize their stay, basically we've made some progress. Now there's a draft MOU that is now sitting here in Juba for our Department of Migration review, and once they are happy, we hope to have a meeting between our two immigrations in Kampala, because the last one was done in Juba about a year or two ago. So now South Sudan is being invited, and if we are all happy with the text, probably by New Year we shall have something to look at.
Mm. And when you talk about the draft MOU, which institutions from the both countries drafted?
It's mainly, this is migration, the Department of Migration that's responsible, because they're the people who are responsible for to control the borders with respect to issuance of visa, and also people like public service who are responsible for issuing work permit, etc.
And when do we expect this meeting to happen in Uganda between the two institutions?
Now we haven't confirmed yet, but we are hoping towards the end of year, late November, beginning December.
Mm. There was also a concern from South Sudanese students in Rwanda, since Ambassador, you're also in charge of Rwanda. Tell us what is really the problem. I understand last time you told me that you will send team on the ground really to assess or to see what was really the issue of the students complaining about a number of requirements from the universities and the law and the authorities there, and it's making it difficult for them to enroll and to continue with their studies. What's the problem?
Yes, thank you for that. Actually, I took the initiative to go with the team from the 18th to 24th of September. I had a team of about four, the head of immigration, the educational attaché. We were able to go and meet with the student leaders. South Sudanese student leaders in various universities. We first said our first meetings, first day, we just took it with the student, different groups of South Sudanese students. And then the following day, we were able to go and have a meeting with the Directorate of Immigration, the Inspector General of Police, the Minister of Interior, basically the whole government. What I came to find out, or what the team found out, is basically there were two things. First, there were some junior officers who think South Sudanese are Sudanese. So when there were people going from Sudan after the conflict, they're crossing into Rwanda, and there they go and seek asylum. Mm-hmm. So that's when some officers thought these are, when they go, they say we are Sudanese. Mm-hmm. So that was one of contention. So we had to clear to them.